Hare Krishna. When the Supreme Lord descends into this world, what is the proof that He is the Supreme Lord? There must be some distinguishing characteristics that identify Him to be the Supreme Lord. Firstly, His advent must be predicted well in advance in the revealed scriptures. Secondly, He must have a mission to perform, a specific mission that is also predicted. Third, having advented, He must perform some extraordinary activities that are not possible for humans to perform. Next, He must display on His person some extraordinary bodily features which mark Him out as a Supreme Lord. Certain imprints on the feet, on the hands, and so on and so forth, the structure of the body and so on. And finally, that form of the Lord must manifest the universal form, the Virat Roop, the gigantic form of the Lord that encompasses the universe, which is more or less like an imaginary form that is constituted of the elements of this universe. You could say God in matter. God is spirit. But because we do not have the eyes to see spirit, so there are people who want to understand Him in the form of this gigantic universe. Actually, the devotees of the Lord who want to love Krishna in a very intimate way, especially in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan, they are not really interested in seeing the awesome manifestations of God, awe-inspiring manifestations. They are more interested in the very sweet manifestations of the Lord, where Krishna actually frolics and plays like an ordinary cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Nevertheless, Arjuna, for the sake of posterity, for the sake of the skeptics and doubters who would come in future in society and question Krishna's godhood, Arjuna wants to settle the matter. So he requests Krishna, "Please show me your universal form." He presents himself as the one who is desirous of seeing the Lord in that form. And Krishna kindly obliges. And when Arjuna sees that form, he is wonderstruck. He is in fact terrified. And this chapter has a whole description of what Arjuna sees, a form that was never before shown to anybody, as Krishna says himself. Finally, Arjuna says, "My dear Lord, I can't take it anymore. Please show me your original form once again." So these awe-inspiring, terrifying forms may be good for the sake of those who don't have faith, who don't have understanding. And for those who don't have that understanding and faith, sometimes even these fearsome forms may not have the desired effect. They may still not believe in God. Krishna also showed a partial Virat Rupa, or the universal form, to Duryodhana. But Duryodhana was not at all impressed. He said, "This must be some display of magic power or something, like we have so many magicians." So he's probably done it like that. There was one magician who made the Taj Mahal disappear. As everyone was looking on, suddenly they saw there's no more Taj Mahal in front. So they can do all sorts of things like this by tricks, by ordinary mundane tricks, and deceive you into seeing things that are not actually true. So for those who really don't want to believe, yes, even if Krishna shows His universal form, it won't help. But there's many who will probably accept. So this chapter is especially intended for those people. But Arjuna at the end comes back and says, "My dear Lord, enough of that. I just want to see you playing the flute. I want to see you as the ordinary two-handed form that I've been seeing you before." So this is the sum and substance of this chapter. Similarly, our attraction should also be for that one supreme and most lovable form of the Supreme Lord who manifests in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna is not known as God. Krishna doesn't care to be God. Krishna doesn't like to be God. Krishna just likes to be a frolicsome cowherd boy, a prankster, a fun-loving boy, a cowherd boy who plays with the gopis, with the gopas, and all the residents of Vrindavan are completely absorbed in divine bliss in remembering him, looking at him, and speaking and hearing about him. So that should be the object of our meditation. Hare Krishna.